In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, people. It's Jared Freed, your trusty co-host of the U Up podcast. I have shows that were scheduled for Long Island this weekend. Those shows are being scheduled due to COVID and state laws with having outdoor shows. So they're being rescheduled. So if you got tickets for the Long Island shows this weekend, they will be transferred to the new date in January. If any of you want a refund, you can call the box office of the club. It's Governor's Comedy Club. It's here's the number, 516-731-3358. Again, 516-731-3358. You get a full refund, no questions asked, or your tickets will be transferred to the date in January. Also, this is kind of what's going on in the world. There's a lot of quick changes. So I have been booked instead in Nashville, Tennessee. A little different than Long Island. I'm going to be in Nashville this weekend doing 5 shows, Friday through Sunday. Socially distanced, 50% capacity. I will be there with lots of new material. It's going to be loose and fun, and I can't wait to come to Nashville because I've been a few times, and I just love the crowds down there. So listen, if you want to come to any of the Nashville shows and bring your friends that you've been quarantining with or corn potting with or people that you've been close with, come on out. Bring the whole group chat. It's going to be at Zany's Nashville this weekend, and you can go get tickets. My website, jaredfreed.com, jaredfreed.com, jaredfreed.com. Nashville this weekend, Long Island. I'm sorry. I love coming out there to Governor's. We're moving it to January, so that's Long Island has been moved to January. Nashville is now this weekend. I'll be in your town. I'm there to make you laugh, so I hope you guys can come out. And we'll be doing more shows in the future. Again, I got Philly, Raleigh, all these different dates. But I really appreciate you guys hanging with me and coming out when you can and feel good about it. So jaredfreed.com for tickets. DM me if you have any questions. I'm always here. Enjoy today's episode.
Hello and welcome to You Up. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's happening? We've hit September. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. It's crazy. This year is, we say this every week. It's weird. It's a weird time.
It's a weird times. New normal, unprecedented. How many new, these words are now just a fixture in our vocabulary.
Exactly. Well, if this is airing on September, we recorded this one a little early. This is airing September 9th. My birthday was September 7th, so I'm sure I had a great birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
The big 3-1, I was about to say. You got the engagement. You got the greatest gift of them all. Do you expect a birthday gift this year?
I could die tomorrow.
It doesn't matter. is there an expected birthday gift after, like, what could you buy?
I'm going into it with zero expectations for one. Okay. I got a very large gift less than a month ago. So I'm okay.
A shiny gift. Yeah.
Maybe something small and thoughtful, but not necessary. But like a card would be nice, maybe.
We know Jordana likes a card. A dinner and a card. I think that's reasonable, right?
I think that's sufficient. I would be very happy with both of those things. 31 is very like anticlimactic. I would say it might be like the most uneventful of dates.
Sure. It's so I've been like, I'm on, not to plug, I mean, I'm not even going to give it away, but I'm on Cameo, but I'm hard to find, but I get like some birthday.
How are you hard to find?
Well, I mean, not to get too in the weeds here, but if you, Apple takes like, Apple is like a mob boss. They always skim a little money off the top. So if you opt out of Apple, whatever, then you don't get, and then you're not searchable on Apple.
Oh, they're not pushing you up. Okay.
So whatever. So now I, whatever. But every time I get a birthday one, it's like sometimes they'll be like, wish my friend a 27th birthday. I'm like, that's a shitty age. 27, really not. I know you're 27, just like I'm 20. Yeah, no present for 27. Hint, hint. No. So, but then I'm like, 31, same thing. Like, you're, yeah, you know, 35, a little bit more important just because that's like the center, you
the
know.
The fives and the zeros.
The fives and yeah, the zeros are really those monumental ones where you kind of lose your mind a little bit because you're like, oh my God, life is passing me by. Every day is closer to death. But you kind of
so
forget
fun
about it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you
kind of
forget about it in between.
I think once you're done with 30, it does seem kind of a thing where I'm like, am I even really going to do like a friend thing? Am I just going to get dinner and call it a day? Do you know what I mean?
Also, like, you don't want to be that friend that's like, well, I'm 32. What are we doing? It's like, no, we have our own lives. We actually have things. I guess that's the hardest part about being single past 30 is like, now you become, I would assume you would feel that you're an inconvenience to someone. You're like, hey, I'm 32. There was this is where arguments happen between friends, because you're like,
hey, once people have to get a babysitter to come to your birthday, then you're
totally
like,
and your friend who has a baby is like, nothing's as important as a baby. And you're like, yeah, but I don't have one. I'm 32. I still need a reason to go out. You know, right, like I still have to, like, how do I, like, I have to go out. I have to leave here. You know, so I understand how annoying that would be as a 32-year-old single person. You're like, hey, let's get the troops together. And all the troops are like, we're tired. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy for you. Happy birthday. This is great.
Thank you.
What are we talking about today, Jordana?
Today, we are talking about passwords in a relationship.
Now, passwords like during sex to like, you know, if I say...
No, that's a code. I feel like that's a code.
Okay.
It's a code word, right? Maybe more. Do you have any of Jess's passwords? Does she have any of yours? Do you know your phone code?
Jess, you know my phone code, right? She knows my phone code. She knows my computer password. I don't know any of hers except for her package password. But it's the same. What? She says everything's the same, but I just don't remember. I thinking off the top of my head, I don't have it. Are you guys sharing password? But also, let me say, the way, you know, Jess has my phone password because it's like, hey, can you get something off my phone? Or take a video. And it's like, she's like, oh, what's your password? It wasn't like, this wasn't a monumental exchange. Jess said that an underrated monumental moment in a relationship is when you share the password that you would use in a hotel room safe. Do you agree with that?
I don't know if I agree with that, just because, is that trying to say like you trust that the person won't steal?
Well, I would say
stuff?
That like so
or is
I
it
would
like
say
because you know that's like your ATM pin.
Well, you know that's like the like in my family, my greater family, my dad's side of the family, we all have the same code.
Like, oh yeah, it's like a garage code from growing up.
A garage, exactly. Yeah. So the garage code from growing up for me became the password, the code to get into the hotel safe. So there is, I do agree with Jess, where I understand what she's saying, where it's like you have become more intimate with each other because you have just learned what the family code is at
that
point.
They've been integrated into your life in a way that they know that this is like what pretty much anyone in your family, if you had to steal any of their debit cards, you could probably get some cash with that number.
Sure. And if you said that number to my parents, they would go, oh, you know the number. Like, it's just like, it is a feeling of like, we're sewing together the cloth of our lives.
For
so
sure.
To speak. How about you? What's going on with you and Mike and passwords?
Yeah, I agree. We've never had like a formal exchanging of passwords, but like I've had to get into his phone. I know he probably doesn't know mine, but I know his phone password. From like having gotten something in there. We have open computers pretty much.
The computers are open.
There's a bunch of them. So, or like if they're locked, we have passwords to all them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was never like a formal, like write down all your passwords so that like I can get in at any time.
Slide it across the table. You put yours on yours, and I'll put mine on a piece of paper. We'll slide it across like it's a negotiated contract dispute.
I think in the best of worlds, it just kind of happens subtly, gradually over time, where like you kind of just get to know those things. But that leads us to the question of the emailer, which is going to be a different kind of scenario.
Sure. I just think like it's the password thing is, again, like there are little tells as to where you stand. Like, again, the phrase, are we on the same page? Are we on the same page is a phrase that's used a lot in a relationship. You're never going to like be told the page number. But there are moments in relationships where the page is...
You're forced to face the fact that you might not be.
You're figuring out what chapter that person's on. It doesn't have to be expensive to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury quality items. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. I love what Quince is doing. They're basically taking the expensive label off of the clothing and giving you stuff that's just as good. They have cashmere sweaters, they got jackets, they got everything. I love their socks. Right now, you're pulling socks out of the drawer and you're going, oh, it's that pair again? Get rid of that pair. Treat yourself. Quince. Not just the socks, though. They got everything. 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. The best part, Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Let's do the email. Let's get into it.
All right. So she writes, hey, J&J, huge fan of podcasts, trilogy, J-Train Betches You Up. Love all of it. Thanks so much. I don't know if this has been addressed in the podcast before. I was wondering if I can get some insight. My boyfriend and I have been dating for over a year now and currently live together. And we've had our fair share of ups and downs. And we're slowly turning into an off and on again relationship. We have each other's passwords to each other's phones for a while now. But recently I found out he was messaging other girls when he's not with me and then deleting them. This has happened a few times before and I forgave him, but I asked him to not delete any messages. Then I found out he still talks to other girls and deletes the messages, which at that point I asked him for all his social media passwords. He put up a big fight about it and we practically broke up over it. He ended up giving me his password to Instagram, but not Snapchat. Am I crazy for this? Would appreciate any insight. Additional notes, LOL. Mostly the messages with girls are innocent, but a few times they've been inappropriate. Our relationship has been really rocky lately. I love him and I want to work it out, but I'm almost at my breaking point. I just want to prove a point that people who have nothing to hide would give up their passwords. Am I right?
Oi.
Where to start
is right. And I again, like a lot of times we get an email like this, and I'm sure there's a lot of listeners being like, Dom Pim. Like, that's just the easy, he's an asshole. Dom Pim. Right. Like, I listen, we'll get there to those people yelling that.
You know what this reminds me of is when we had Jax Taylor on.
Yeah.
And he had that huge Vanderpump Rules, like, cheating scandal where he was cheating on his, now she's his wife. At the time, she was his girlfriend.
And their solution
to that was that, like, she just had all his passwords.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember it was a little bit uncomfortable because I said to him, I was like, that's kind of bull. We both agreed. It's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, you said something that was very, like, accurate. Like, to do that is almost like to say, here's my password, is sort of like, you know, waving the one thing in front of them. And then you said, you phrased it a lot better.
It was like a magician. I'm doing this with my right while doing bad with my left type of thing. Like,
and
yeah,
right. To make what you do seem even more innocent when it's probably like not. So,
yeah. I mean, this relationship is over. Let me just say to this emailer, and I'm trying to say it. We only get to speak to the emailer. So I know they're a big fan. She's a big fan. She says she listens to these podcasts. I love her for that. But I want, and because I love her, I want to make it as clear as possible. This relationship is over.
Well, it's over. And right? I think she should want it to be over because this relationship is turning her, what I would imagine, into the worst version of herself.
Yeah, I'm with you. And because we're reading this email, like, we both like this person. They are a supporter of this show. Like, I have no reason to come down hard on her. But I think it's, like, just like what you said, like, when she writes this in, there's people listening, and I'm sure they're going, oh, you idiot. Like, and I don't mean she's an idiot, but it's turning her into the worst, like, the idiot, the person that you're like. And she probably turns to us because her friends are done hearing it.
Well, it's like, it's turning into, I guess what you're saying is, like, she looks stupid, and, like, that's sort of one part of it. But it's also, like, the worst version of yourself is also someone who, like, needs to, like, control the person that they're with or needs to monitor the person they're with. That doesn't make you a good partner because, like, that's not someone that I would want to be with, is someone who's, like, tracking me or kind of like, I always felt was, like, watching me or looking at me. Like, that's not a good version. If I was with someone, I mean, I can totally see a situation where I would become that person if I was, like, paranoid that someone was cheating on me or was going to. And that would be, like, not a version of myself that I like very much.
Well, yeah, that is also what she will realize later, is that, like, this no good relationship starts from this. Like, you know, no good relationship starts from, well, now that we have the passwords, we're good to go.
Great.
Like, that's not how it works. Like, and there's, like, an old saying of, like, if you're confused, it's not right. When it's easy, it's right. Like, you'll never be confused when it's right. And it's like, this is one of those scenarios where she's like, she's trying to spin all the plates and then, like, and she's like, well, if I get them all up, then we're all good. And it's like, no, but now you have no arms to hug this person with. You're too busy spinning plates.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of like, I mean, like, we've talked, it's like, it's not weird to have someone not want to give you their password. I don't agree with her last statement of, like, if you have nothing to hide, why wouldn't you give me your password?
Yeah, I don't agree with that either. Like, and also, I mean, the fact that he gives one and not the other, like, that, again, like, it sounds like, and he's texting with other women and sometimes it's deleted and it's like all of this, like, I think she's got to reverse her perspective, right?
Right. She needs to step out of the situation and look at it almost as, like, as an outsider. Like, if you saw this going on with a different couple, what would you think?
You would think they need to end. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You would say, like, this relationship has no trust. There's, like, clearly, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be with someone, even on either side. It's like, he shouldn't be with someone who, like, he has to, like, sneak around, like, or, like, you know, have monitoring all of his things. And she shouldn't be with someone that she can't trust.
Yeah. And the answer to her question should be in the way we spoke about, like, how we have our significant other's passwords. Like, yeah, when she needs, of course, Jess has my password. I gave her my phone to, like, take a picture or take a video of me once. Like, of course, Mike has the password to the computer. We share computers. Like, there was never a point of, like, well, if I don't have the password, we're in trouble. Like, it was never a tactic.
Yeah. And I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I was going to say, I think that there are times when, like, people get paranoid or people get suspicious, but it doesn't sound like she has nothing. This doesn't sound like, to defend her for a second, doesn't sound like she's, like, there's no basis for her doing this. Like, she's not, like, I just need total control over everything. Like, there is
no
reason for that. I understand why she wants them.
The house of crazy gets built log by log. Like, it's, you know, it starts at who are you texting, and then it gets to, well, let's exchange passwords, and then it gets to give me your, why don't I have your Snapchat password, you know, like and then you're just covered in this isn't, you don't start this way. This is in, I get what she says. She writes something very specific in her email. There's two things that I picked out. Our relationship has been really rocky lately. I love him and want it to work out. Both people have to want it to work out. You want it to work out, and he seems to want it to be exactly how it is. So he is not working with you as far as, like, hey, become growing up with you, maturing with you, stopping the kind of the hiding these his Snapchat from you. Like, if it feels wrong, it's wrong. And to me, she knows this feels wrong. The other thing she wrote, I want to prove a point. The minute you say I want to prove a point, the relationship is over. The minute you make this about relationships in general, like, I don't get, you know, we talk about relationships generally here and men and women, like, yeah, but, like, none of this, like, gives, this isn't for me to win or for you to win. This is about having the conversation. And we're having it together. Like, the minute you go, I just want to prove a point in your really? Like, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? What do you want? Do you want to be right or happy? Right now, you're trying to be right in the face of being happy. Like, putting happiness aside. Right,
and it turns out you're both wrong and unhappy.
Yeah, there it is. So, and I think this happens in a lot of relationships where you're like, it kind of feels like you're losing at the blackjack table and you're like, let me just get back to even. You know, you sat at the table with $100 and now you got $50 and you go, well, no, I gotta get back to 100. This happens in investing too. When you lose 50% of your investment, you don't have to, it's not that you have to make 50% back. You have to make 100% back to get back to even.
Right.
If you lose,
so just cut your losses.
So cut your losses. You're never going to make 100% back on this guy. You're never going to make 50% back on this guy. You're never going to get to even. It's over. End it.
And yeah. And I would say the more you, like, stay in it and keep doing this thing where you try to control the person, the more you get into, like, you get into pretty bad habits that this is not going to work out with this guy. And you're going to bring that to your next relationship. Your next relationship, you're going to say, and I need to see your phone and I need your password. But that's not a healthy thing. But I can see how if you're with someone who's constantly sort of deceiving you or constantly being shady, you can work that into your head where, like, no, relationships, like, the way to avoid shadiness in relationship is to share everything. Like, no.
Yeah, no.
The way to avoid shadiness in relationships is to be with someone who you inherently believe is not shady.
Just rephrase. Yeah, exactly. Just rephrase the question. I want to prove a point that people who have nothing to hide would give up their passwords. Am I right? How about you change the question? Do I want to be with someone who I feel is hiding things behind my back?
Right.
No. And that. So I think if she reread her email and phrased it more of, like, do I want to be with someone who texts, messages other girls?
Do I have to monitor?
Yeah, who I have to monitor. No, you don't. I don't. You don't, right?
Yeah. Like, imagine if you had a housekeeper and constantly, and you caught them, you know, you caught them stealing something from your house or something like that. Your solution to that wouldn't be like, I'm going to set up cameras and I want you to know, like, you'd be like, I mean, that might be a solution generally, I guess, to, like, home security, but, like, you wouldn't be like, okay, you keep working here and I'm just going to, like, watch you from, like, my desk at work.
Yeah, no, you're going to get a new housekeeper.
Right,
yeah.
You're going to get a new housekeeper that's not stealing from you.
Yeah, and then I guess her next question would be, then why does he keep coming back? why does he keep wanting to like half try? It's because like that's the thing that like a lot of these bad relationships get into. She's like, but he does come back. And it's like, so he must want to be with me somehow. No. He wants you at his convenience. Anytime you get outside of his convenience, he lies and deletes and he gets out and he keeps you. And what people don't want to really admit to is that everyone's a narcissist. So they think that nobody's as confused as they are. This guy is just as fucked up and confused as you are. Like, this guy needs some form of like significant other. He needs someone to boost his confidence. He needs someone to fill the hole. It's lonely for a guy on Sunday, just like it's lonely for you on Sunday. So having someone who's convenient for them is always someone they're going to keep around. So don't blame like, oh, well, our shitty relationship might be shitty, but he comes back. No, he comes back because he's fucked up too.
Right. I agree. Reframe the question as to like, you know, why you want to be with someone who does those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. Send in your awkward sex. We're getting some good ones, right, Jordana?
I love the next one that we got. That was really funny.
This is great. J&J, thanks for all the laughs and relatability during this weird time. I have an awkward sexual encounter that has not been covered on the pod yet, so you hopefully enjoy. I had a good first app date with a guy that led to an apartment invite. As we were walking to his place, he kept adjusting his arm and doing arm circles while complaining about his back and neck. I asked him what was wrong, and he said he tweaked his back and it has been getting progressively worse. As the walk to his apartment continued, his complaints heightened. I joked that maybe I shouldn't come over and that I didn't want to hurt his back anymore, LOL. But he insisted I still come over. I'd like to interject that that there's no back issues that's going to stop a guy from like, no, getting, you know, you're right. I'm feeling a little sore. Yeah. And especially if the girl's like, I don't want to hurt your back any more than it is. And it's like, please come over. She's,
right.
You know,
I got it. Right.
Yeah. He mentioned that he tried to use his sports massage gun on his own back earlier, but couldn't reach the spot. I semi-jokingly offered to do it for him, and next thing I know, he's up grabbing the massage gun and taking off his shirt. I spent a good 10 to 15 minutes being his back physical therapist with the massage gun while he directed up a little, down a little, to the left. It's like, P.S., I am definitely not a physical therapist and did not know what I was doing. He kept moaning, and I couldn't tell if it was working or making it worse. Trying to salvage the situation, we started to hook up on the couch, and he's still struggling with his neck. He gets up to pop some more Advil, and I decided it was time to call it quits. As I got into my Uber, I couldn't help but wonder if I was brought back for a hookup or just to help get the hard-to-reach places. Not sure what you would call this, but hope you also get a laugh. Sincerely, not your personal physical therapist.
I love this one because, like, massages are a big point of contention in our relationship.
I would agree. I have similar to me. Half the reason I'm in a relationship is for the back scratches and the subtle rubs. I think that's kind of Jess is quietly not nodding or she's approving. I am a sucker for a good back scratch or a head rub. How about you?
Do you give as much as you get?
No, I'm getting. I am winning the rub war. I am getting, and I'm like a dog. You know how a dog will like kind of poke its
head into
you? I'm doing that. And I know how to lay on top of her so that her hands are directly where I want to be scratched. I've really worked out all the angles on this one.
I would say Mike is exactly the same.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he'll do this thing, which I find really annoying. Well, he'll like spontaneously rub my back or shoulders for like 7 seconds. And then he'll be like, and then I know what he's doing where he's like, he'll do it just to like be like, oh, this is what we're doing now. And then he's like, oh, my back really hurts. I'm like, then just say that. Don't pretend this is like an even thing.
Yeah, I've given up on even Steven. I think at some point I want to go, no, she likes doing it, which she probably doesn't. I try to give her some scratch, but I don't know. I'm just not as good as it as she is.
That's the oldest trick in the book. Do you know how many essays I've gotten written by saying that to a fellow classmate? It's a good group project line.
That's right. No, yeah. You're good at the...
You're the best at essay writing. Yeah,
you're
really good. Paper. I'll edit.
Your grammar's better. I'll do the drawing on the front cover of the group project.
Exactly. And I wanted Theragun mostly so that I can outsource this task to it.
Sure. Well, I'm in the scratch game. So the Theragun, I do need it on my neck. I've had neck issues because of flying in the past. But I don't know. I mean, it is interesting.
Love the visual. Go on.
Go ahead. The visual of what?
I was going to say, I just love the idea of a guy like, because like that's almost the most to me, like when it gets insulting, when I'm doing them the favor, and he's like, to the left more, to the left. I'm not getting paid for this. And yeah, this is what this guy
now you know
did
what
to
it's
her.
Like. Now you know what it's like to go down on a woman. To the left, to the right. Come on.
Harder there.
Harder. Stay. Don't move. Don't. No. There. 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 You moved. This is what it's like.
Okay, now I get it. Now it makes more sense. So I'm just imagining, like, if I was on a first date with someone and they were talking to me like that, it would be, like, super annoying.
Oh, my God. This is hilarious that he's, like, because also, like, I guess what we're learning is a lot of guys are into getting their back rubs and a lot of guys are just, like, babies when it comes to this stuff. So, like, the idea that he's, like, she's like, I can help you out. And he's like, pops the shirt off. You know, like, it's just like, oh,
here's the lotion.
Yeah. He's just ready to go. Like, it makes sense to me.
Also that he has no like shame in both asking and like doing the moan and like the ask then and the like the specifying exactly what he wants like immediately.
I mean, I can't say that I'm beyond him. I've hooked up with girls more often because of their head scratch ability. Like, I've gone back.
Right.
You know, like, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a fun hookup plus the head scratches.
I mean, a good massage is like is not something to ignore.
You don't just give it up. You don't just, that's a part of the equation. Like, if someone's out there with really good nails and likes scratching backs, they're hooking up more than the people who don't. I'm just saying to the women out there.
I wonder if you're a masseuse and you're dating. Is that something you're like using or are you kind of like over it? Like you've been doing this all day?
You got to be over it. That was a Seinfeld episode, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, where he kept trying to get her to do it. That was a Seinfeld episode. And like kind of like, and then someone paid for the services and he was mad about it. I think that's the episode.
Oh,
yeah.
It was like almost like that's funny.
So what would you call this one?
What would you call it? This is.
I had.
Let's get physical therapy. That's
good.
I'm spitballing here. I'm interrupting you. Go on.
The pain in the neck, the rub down, the masseur, and then this was my favorite. My neck, my back, my insurance doesn't cover that.
Oh my God, I love it. That's the one.
Got to laugh out of Jess.
Oh my God, I was so behind on that the WAP song.
Oh, you didn't know it?
I knew that it existed, but I didn't like really listen to it. Cause like, when do I listen to like the radio or like random
sure.
songs that come up? And then I listen to it and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm 100 years old. This is disgusting.
It does make you feel 100 years old because you don't want to be the person that's like, how could they? Like, you don't want to be that person, but wet ass pussy is a harsh phrase. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah, it's a lot, I think, when I'm just like, oh, like, everyone, this must be, like, the jam of the summer. Like, let me, like, throw it on. Like, and Mike's like, yeah, like, put it on. Everyone's talking about it. Like, I want to hear it.
Yeah.
We put it on, and we're like, 30 seconds. We're like, I don't think we're this kind of couple.
I mean, no, yeah, I definitely, it is catchy. There's some hoes in this house. I mean, I
that
put up a
video. That
was
a funny TikTok. I listened to it, and I was like, this is sort of insulting. And then I listened to this.
Yeah, it didn't just come out of nowhere that I'm calling my girlfriend a hoe. like, yeah, there's some hoes in this house. It is a catchy hook.
It is a catchy song. I feel like it wasn't quite the like road trip song that I wanted when I put it on.
Sure.
For a long. It was right after American Pie.
Yeah. On a nice summer day, you're like, you turn on Yacht Rock. You're like, this is more our style.
I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness, but I recently came across Allo Moves and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick-me-up. Then I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Allo Moves. From beginner to advanced, Allo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code UUP. allomoves.com, code UUP.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP.
Let's do another email.
Let's do it. UUP@betches.com. Hit it. Let's do it.
All right. J&J, love the podcast and you both, but I'll get right to it. Basically, I started talking to this guy I met in college. He graduated 3 years ago. I graduated 2 years ago, again during quarantine. And it was going really great, just reconnecting and getting to know each other again. Since restrictions were somewhat lifted, we've been trying to make plans to hang out, but it never seems to work out. He'll either text me late night, which I've said is not my style, or make a plan for the next day. Then I won't hear from him until 8 p.m. the next day, if at all. Bullshit. She writes in parentheses.
Angry. Yeah.
We still talk pretty. It's funny because I feel like I've been in that situation. And then you get that text in 8 and you're like, literally think like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
We still talk pretty regularly and it's always on the flirty side, but he never prioritizes the plan. I've even called him out on it and he either laughs it off or sends me a series of flirty emojis. What the fuck? I know I'm not totally innocent in all of this as I have still been entertaining the situation, but I can't help myself. I really don't want to give it up. Like, what was the point of the last 4 months? My question is, where do I go from here? If the solution is forget about it and move on, how do I do that? I know it sounds strange, but after talking every single day for so long, I feel like I formed some sort of emotional connection/bond to him. And I do genuinely enjoy talking to him. I'm just getting to the point where I'm frustrated and it's affecting me in other areas of life. How do I move on from my quote unquote quarantine boyfriend? The situation is starting to make me feel a little crazy, and considering I'm writing about it to my favorite podcast, maybe I am. thanks for all you do. Sincerely, your most confused and annoyed listener. I love the self-awareness in this email.
It's a great email. It's important to the time. I'm sure it's relatable to a lot of people out there. You've spent these last few months on a more enhanced version of texting every night, like with FaceTimes that I'm sure happened and getting to know each other. Like all of this right now, all these like these things that used to just be texting, she's, you know, to most people now are like, well, we've been doing this 4 months and I've gotten to know the intimate side of their lives.
Right. You feel like you really know them and you have like a real bond that like the other person must feel that too, because why else would you be talking to someone this intimately for 4 months?
Yeah. And there's also another important thing, and I don't mean to take this email into another direction, but this is the way, I don't know if this will comfort her or not, or help her release from this guy or not, but she wrote something very specific in the message. I started talking to this guy I met in college. He graduated 3 years ago and I graduated 2 years ago, again during quarantine, and it was going really great, reconnecting and getting to know each other again. You always I have a lot of things to beware of. Beware of the person that you share life with.
History with?
Beware the person you share history with.
Beware of your significant other.
Yeah, well, but beware the person that you went to college with or from your hometown or from your high school that kind of pop back up. Because you two immediately share commonalities that make you trust each other more than maybe you should. And a lot of people use that to their advantage, and a lot of guys where it's like, oh, I know the same streets as you, and we know the same people as you. So the trust is built into it where they don't really have to make an effort to make the date with you or to like keep this going, because they know that you basically, it's like they're playing off of the idea of like the box checking that people do with people, because, oh, he knows the college and he knows the party, and it's all just so much more intimate, more quickly, but in a fake way. Like,
right,
these aren't things.
It's a false sense of intimacy.
It's a false sense of intimacy because, yeah, exactly. Because it's like he didn't have to try to know the bar that you know from college. He didn't have to try and find you and meet you. Like, there was no real effort in getting to know you because it was already built in to you guys coming upon each other. So, like, I don't know how this started or how this relationship, like, got going, but this happens a lot with, like, guys who respond to your Instagram stories from college and guys who respond, you know, to like or comment or like your Instagram post, because they're like, they're basically using the trust you have with the same history to like get into your like romantic life. Do you hear what I'm saying?
No, I could totally see that. I feel like I would be much more likely to like talk to you and you know, I would feel like if I'd rather someone that I went to school with or that came from the same town as me message me, because then I'm like, oh, I know the people they used to hang out with. I have a sense of who this person is. I don't need to like figure that out like you would from a stranger on the internet. You're like, I know what this person's deal is, even if you like don't really.
I mean, she wrote, and so I really don't know. It's like it doesn't sound strange. Like, I think she needs to like let herself off the hook. I really, I know it sounds strange, but after talking every single day for so long, I feel like I've formed some sort of emotional connection bond to him.
No, that's totally normal. Yeah.
Totally normal, especially, that's totally normal for someone you've been texting with for 4 months during what's going on in the world, and, you know, everyone's a little bit more vulnerable than they used to be. It's even more understandable considering they have the college background together.
Right. What do you think is this guy's deal, though? Like, I don't understand. I'm with her in the sense of, like, I don't understand why he would be talking to her for 4 months and then just, like, not have any interest in meeting up with her.
It's really easy. Well, because it's really easy to talk to someone for 4 months. It's not
intimately
hard.
I feel like there's some, I mean, I don't know what their conversations were like, but, like, if you're FaceTiming and texting someone every day, like, I have to imagine that that means, so I can see it where in her head, she's probably like, doesn't this mean anything to this person?
Well, it means something, but he's getting out of it. Like, And I say this all the time. He has to, right now, emotionally, he might be getting all he needs. Like, to some people are on the dating app just to get the match. Some people are texting with you just to get the text. So, you know, not everyone's
texting. Don't they want to, like, so you're saying, well, he doesn't want a date, or he would sleep with her because he's texting her at 8 p.m.?
I'm saying that he will hang with her at his convenience. This is all about convenience. Guys collect options. He has collected her as an option, but the way we get the options is really by any means necessary. Right. You know, it is by using the college connection, is by getting you to respond to an Instagram. You know, she says he sends emojis and it's flirty. She said, we still talk pretty regularly and it's always on the flirty side. Maybe this is just him getting his flirty stuff out. But guys collect options for when they are in a pinch and want excitement when on their time. That's the way he's operating.
Right. And I feel for her because it's so, I mean, like, I guess that's the downside of this quarantine dating, is that you could be talking to someone for 4 months and not know that that's what they're interested in. Like, if you're, if you meet someone in the real, like, not in this situation, you would know fairly quickly if they, like, didn't ask you to do something that they were this kind of guy. But, like, now it's like she feels emotionally invested.
Sure.
In 4 months. It's much harder, I think. I don't want to speak for everyone, but for a lot of women to be, like, emotionally speaking to a bunch of people and then, like, doing what men do, like you're saying that they do. I think we're more likely to be like, okay, this is going really well with this guy. I'm going to, like, invest emotionally in this. And then, like, I feel like this is much more likely to work out. I have a connection that's not happening with everyone. I feel secure.
Yeah.
I can see why she's like, I don't want to, like, she wants to let go, but she's like, oh, I don't want to, like, take the loss of this 4 months where I spent like building this relationship with this person.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That kind of makes me think they're both each other's drug dealer. They're just giving each other different drugs. Like, he gives her the emotional masturbation of a guy that she's connecting with and that could be something more. And she's giving him the flirty, fun, you know, dopamine drip that comes with, like, a hot girl messaging you. And being up for hanging out at some point. Like, she said that she's like, he texts me late night. That's a big thing, too.
Right.
And she goes, it's not my style. Well, at a certain point, he's basically sitting there being like, well, let's see if, and you know, he's saying, I know what I want. And you're going, it's not my style. But how about this? And he's going, no. And, you know, and now you're back at square one again. It's a vicious cycle. And
right.
She says, I know I'm innocent and I'm not innocent. Like, I loved her email because she goes, I'm not totally innocent in all this. I've been entertaining the situation. Well, there has to be a point where she says, you know, there are phases to all interpersonal relationship. What they're doing now is what you do in the beginning. She wants the next phase. He might not be that guy. And she has to ask for the next phase and leave this current phase because he's looking to stay in this phase forever.
Right. It just sucks that, like, she has to be on the offensive with that. And I get that. It's like,
yeah.
Like, cause now you're she's at a point where she can't just kind of, like, be passive. Like, cause the guy is taking advantage of the situation and he's not going to do anything unless she stops speaking to him. So she really has to, like, be on the offense and like go out there with this whole, like, this is what I want. Doesn't seem like you want that too. Now I'm going to, like, you know, state my purpose or do this thing.
Sure.
When, like, if this guy actually felt that way, if I were her, I would feel like he kind of owed it to me to be like, hey, like, I know, like we have this, like, connection and, like, I was talking to you a lot, but, like, I'm really just, like, not ready to, like, I don't really want to, like, date. He's not going to say that.
He's not going to say that
for her. It's annoying. I'm annoyed on her behalf that she now has to, like, break up with herself.
Well, she has to be on the Well, I think there's another part that you kind of miss is that she has to be on the offensive for, like, what she wants, and she has to be on the defensive. She has to ignore him texting late night, ignore reactions to her Instagram stories, and so that sucks. Like, to be on both sides, she has to block him off and tell him where she wants to go, and it's like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, it's frustrating and he's not going to get the message. I mean, she said it's starting to affect in other areas of my life. She probably feels, why am I not worth going on the date? Why am I not?
Right.
Why won't he move? And it's like, it's not about you. It's not personal at that point. I think, how would you tell her, like, what should she do?
Well, here's what I would do. And like, this is hard to do if you're kind of stuck on one person. I would end it, although that's very difficult, right? So it's hard to say that thing. I know it's much easier said than done to say, you know, the next time he like that doesn't, you do the thing that you said where you usually suggest of like, hey, I'd like to go on a date on like X day, like text me, text me if you want to set something up.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it. Right.
Sure.
That's like aggressive. Or you could say, if you're reading the situation, it doesn't seem like you're really interested in going out on like a date at a normal time. And like, honestly, it kind of bothers me that you don't really text, that you're not messaging me until like much later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's just, you know, it doesn't seem like we want the same things and kind of move on that way. Another thing also kind of hard to do.
Here's the problem with that. When you say it doesn't seem like you, he will say he likes her and believe it. He'll go, no, I do want to go on a date. No, I do like you. He's making the date and then canceling the next day at 8 p.m.
Right.
Like, you know, like I think that's like the major problem is that this guy, he does believe he likes her. He likes her, but it's like I think if a lot of people get in this situation where they try to tell someone else how they feel and then they disagree with them and they go and then they get back to square one
again.
Okay.
So then how would you phrase it?
I would phrase it like, hey, I want dates.
Like, you do the first thing I said. You would say, right,
I would do the first thing, but I also like, I think I agree with you where it's like this has gone on long enough. Like I do think like breaking up with him, even though there's nothing to break up with, is
right.
Is
breaking up with herself. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you go like, I don't even think it seems like it would be like, hey, I'm generally annoyed with you. This is not the relationship I want. I think a lot of people like are embarrassed to admit they're in a relationship. It doesn't have to be like we're boyfriend and girlfriend to be a relationship. You two are in a relationship. So like saying right. to him, hey, this relationship isn't working for me. We're not even, he's not going to come back with, we're not in a relationship. You are in an interpersonal relationship. Jordana, you and I are in a relationship. We are in a partnership on this podcast. We are
right.
friends. That's a relationship. So for her,
you don't think there's a chance he comes, he reads that and is like, I didn't realize we were in a relationship.
No, that's fucked up. He knows he is talking romantically with this woman. Like that's,
right.
that's crazy of him. And guys don't care about sounding crazy, so he won't even care about that. But that if he did
I'd
go that
I'd be worried about sounding crazy if I said
exactly,
that. So it's good to know that.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit about sounding crazy. He, but just know it's not crazy to say, hey, this relationship as it is right now doesn't work for me. You constantly cancel on me. You then flirt with me and then make no effort to try and court me or woo me or pursue me. Pursue is probably the word she wants to use because it's not the 1820s. So you make no effort to pursue me. I feel unloved, unwanted, and I don't want to be in any type of relationship with a person that would make me feel this way. So that being said, I'm going to stop texting with you. I'm going to have to remove you from my social media sphere because that's what's going to help me feel better. And I don't wish you bad, but I can't keep in this cycle that we're in right now. I know that's hard to do.
You don't think there's a chance he'll come back with like, oh no, like I actually like, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I actually like do really want to hang out. I've just been, things have been really crazy lately.
I mean,
whatever.
at that point, where do you, then what's the next step? So
that's when I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I would say, well, I guess you missed out then. Good luck. Because right. I think that's like the, if you buy into that, then you're buying into like, you know, what is the definition of insanity is doing the same thing
over and over again
and expecting different results. So now that's the same thing you just did. He's been busy. He's been not making dates. It's not like if he had said, like, hey, I've been really busy lately, you're totally right. I've treated you the wrong way. I will go. I would love to take you out this Friday at 8 o'clock, this restaurant. Like, that's a different thing.
If he says that, do you think she should do that?
I don't think she should, but I wouldn't be.
Blame
her if she didn't. I'd be like,
right.
And then let's see how it goes. But like, again, if the first date took a month, how long will the second date take? If the second date took 2 months, how long will the third date take? Like,
right.
At this point, like, again, you're back in that option zone where it's like, I'm just kept around for when they can make a date. Like,
when they're feeling kind of lonely and want to like,
or put
like acting on something,
or put in a position of losing an option. Oh no, wait, I'm going to lose an option. Let's do date and dinner. Like right. That's kind of how it feels to me.
Yeah, I agree. It's like I said, it's kind of like swimming against the tide. Like you're just going to be in this situation where you're constantly fighting the person. If I were her also, just one last tip for her, I would say, get on the apps, because like it's really easy to kind of take whatever you can get when that's your only option. But when there's someone else exciting that you could potentially meet or that you're talking to, and this isn't the only person, like it's easy to get, I think, wrapped up in your head and think like, this is the only person that this is like my only prospect. This is the only person that I could potentially see a relationship happening with. This is like all I've got to take what I can get here. But I think if you're talking to a lot of people, you don't like that's every good conversation you have decreases that feeling a little bit.
And so much of that has to do with, oh, we went to college together. We know each other. We know each other's friends. Like he's using that to his advantage, whether he knows it or not. So that's why she feels she's like, again, her email makes so much sense. She's like, I can't believe how into this I am. I can't believe I can't let go of this. I can believe it.
I get it too. That would be me as well. I think like and also just remember that like if you met him, you probably built him up into being a lot better and cooler than he actually is. And if you actually did wind up going out with him, I'm sure those feelings would be like brought a little bit back down to like where they normally would.
Yeah. And again, yeah, it's I'm with you. It's this is hard because these are the things of like, you know, you can't tell someone how to feel. And I can hear how she feels, you know, like and she's like, oh, I got to go back to square one. I already divulged. No, take the things you liked about him, the things you felt good about, and use them to judge the next person. You should feel that good, but you also shouldn't feel this bad.
Right. I agree. Everything's a learning experience.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
Let's do some games.
Let's play some games. UUP@betches.com, UUP@betches.com. Red flag deal breaker. You ready?
I'm ready.
They have one single pillow on their bed.
That's a red flag for me, but I think it's easily fixable. I'll bring a pillow.
Yeah. I mean, if I saw a woman, it's a little weird for a woman to have a single pillow. Like it is funny though. Like Jess and I, since we moved in, like, I mean, I would find a way onto that pillow. I'd be like, for a woman and I live by this, like you can't have two people that are like messy. You know, okay. Like I'm the single pillow guy more. I'm more towards single pillow land than I am a thousand pillow land. So I need someone with like.
Who knows that that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Even two pillows is tough because like I usually sleep with two. So it'd be like, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, I guess you're shit out of luck. Right. We're in this zone with our bed where we have two large pillows each. So it's funny because I will create a V with my pillows. I create a V where I put my head in between the V of the two pillows, and then the angles go out around my body. So it's funny because now Jess is kind of doing
like a
this too.
Pillow She's hat.
Little pillow hat. Like I'm like in the pillow V. I'm in the vagina of this pillow. Okay. So Jess has kind of looked over at me and she's like, I could do that too. So now we're just two people that kind of sleep alone on our own in between our own pillows. Like it's kind of evolved into this hilarious.
Oh, that's
world
really funny. Mike has a wall. He makes a pillow wall so that I can't touch him, which I find very insulting. Just this morning, I woke up like at 6 a.m. just by accident. So I went to the bathroom and I come back and I guess my rustling had woken him up. And he sort of woke up for a second. He's like about to say something. I'm like, oh, he's going to like try to like snuggle me. He goes, where's the wall? Someone.
Yeah. The levee has the broken. Yeah, that's, I mean, it is. It's one of those things. And I've said this, we've talked about this before where it's like, I can't believe that we've all signed. Like we just, sleeping with your significant other is just like of course. Like I can't believe that there's not one couple
same
that's
bed
like
forever.
Yeah, why wouldn't we do this? And it's like I can think of a thousand reasons we wouldn't do this.
Right. It really changes the way you think of like merging your lives. Like not only are you merging like assets, friends, family, but also like we're gonna share one bed forever.
I when I was single, I never understood the. I hated the Sunday sleepover so much.
Ugh, that's like, so great. Why did you hate them?
Because it, first of all, it felt like a way of a woman feeling more connected in a relationship. Like if she got the Sunday sleepover,
this is work night.
Things were good. And I was like, yeah, but again, could we choose a worse night to do a sleepover? Like, when you're at your fartiest, when you're at your fullest, when you're at your fattest, and you're like, come here, I want to wrap my arms around you. It's like, no, get the fuck away from me.
Sundays are the best days to be held.
I want to be held by my pillow that doesn't, you know, that knows not to touch the, you know, my belly button to make me feel fat.
That's funny. I disagree on that one, but well, to each their own.
Let's do another. Right. Their dog is named after their ex.
That's a deal breaker for me. That's a little too like vindictive, and they're clearly like, what's the word?
Oh,
they're
like I never even thought of it that way.
Oh, I was like, oh, like they're like, it's like a mean thing or something.
Like she was a bitch, so I'm gonna name the bitch after her. Yeah,
right. So that's why my dog's name is Lauren.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Oh, what did you think of it? Like as
just I guess the way I thought of it was stupid because I thought this is revealing of my reading retention and how good I was in school. But when I read it, I was like, oh, they got a dog together and it was the same. And I guess if they had a dog together, then they wouldn't. If I was dating a Rachel and we named the dog Rachel, that'd be weird. That wouldn't happen.
Oh, no. I assumed like they got it after them.
Yeah, they got it after. That makes way more sense. What if it's the dog they used to own together? Like, would you be okay?
Is named after. I think that's very weird.
No, that's how I thought of it initially. What if they had you're dating a guy who has a dog, but he used to own it with his ex?
Forget the naming thing?
Forget the naming thing.
And okay, I'm fine with it if one person has just kept the dog. If they have like some weird joint custody shit, I'm like not really into that.
That happens a lot. That happens with these dogs, and I'm with you. If it's a joint custody
thing, there should always be an agreement of like when you get the dog, like if we break up, you get the dog or I get the dog. Like it's not a child. Like there's no reason to
like I got visitation once a month with my ex-girlfriend. Like what? What are you talking about?
Right, but what will the dog is going to miss it. Like the dog will get over it. It's a dog.
The dog will look at the next person who feeds them and love them just as much.
Right. To me, that if someone was sharing, you agree, if someone was sharing a dog with their
out. It's too much to sort through too early without a kid, like without a human life being at risk.
But if they kept it, you're fine with it?
Yeah,
it's like I'm fine. X is out of the picture.
Yeah, X is out of the picture. Yeah, that would.
You can adopt it.
I'll be the stepdad.
Exactly. Last one. They have a tattoo with a Chinese symbol on it, but they don't know what it means.
I guess this would be a red flag because the idea that you were so kind of just not in touch with like how big a deal a tattoo is to me, you know, like I can't see us really being hitting it off.
I kind of agree. I feel like it would be like a very big turnoff if like to have this like non-meaningful tattoo that you didn't even think about. It goes on like your body.
Yeah.
You didn't even think about it.
It's not important or, like, at all. Yeah. Like look it up. Like you can ask one person like why you can't figure this out. Like to be that not in tune with what's going on your appearance, I would be like, I don't know.
Right. It's one thing to, they were like, oh, I got this when I was like 16. I was like, kind of, I didn't even think about it. But like, if you hadn't looked it up since then.
It means, I got one at 16. It means tranquility. I was a different person back then. I really liked.
That's one thing I think I could deal with that. Yeah.
That's fine. I'm okay. Not knowing is like, come on.
Right. What else don't really, you know?
Yeah. Or you're lying to me.
Yeah.
We did it. We did it once again, Jordana, right?
We solved dating.
We solved dating. If you're out there and you're still listening, keep spreading the word. Keep sending your emails, uup@betches.com. And we'll be back next episode.
Bye.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@betches.com.
Betches.